I must say I'm pretty excited about coming to speak to you today, because I don't know if you know that Johnny didn't know what I was speaking about, and he didn't know what I was speaking about, and Sam didn't know what we were speaking about. And sometimes God just likes to get the message across. So if he wasn't here this morning, then you've got the message. And if he was here this morning, it's part two. I'm just getting the timer on my watch. There we go, on my clock. Okay. So I'm going to read some scripture out of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verse 6. This is where God speaks to Moses about taking the promised land. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave nor forsake you. I didn't get very far in this Bible when I first picked it up and started to read it. But when I realised that there's a God in there which was detailed and this had this attribute that I'd not experienced before. I've had lots of relationships, family, and they weren't what I expected. But I read about this person, this God in here, and it was probably... and it's God's character, and it's probably the reason why I decided some years ago now to put my trust in this God, and I gave my life over to him. Because I see, I realised that there was a faithful God who cannot break any of his promises because of who he is, and because of this and his will to sustain us until we come into his glory. Now, you see, there's at least 3,000 promises in this Bible. Some say 30,000. And none of them have ever been broken. In fact, like many of yourselves, you can testify how God honours his word in your lives. We've got many examples as well throughout the Bible. But if we look at Moses and Moses' life prior to this event in Deuteronomy, we can perhaps... familiarise with ourselves with this story. You see, Moses himself was kept safe by a god in a basket while it floated down this crocodile-infested Nile. And then he was rescued by Pharaoh's daughter, and he was raised in a palace instead of being slaughtered like all the other baby boys. Moses then later went on to challenge the Pharaoh and demand the freedom of his people. God indeed freed the people, and he led Moses, with God's guidance, to the land that God had promised him. You see, Moses understood the faithfulness of God, and he learned throughout his experiences of how God had kept him safe. God's provision throughout the whole of his life. And when God spoke with him for guidance and instruction, God's word was fulfilled. Joshua was also encouraged to go to the promised land. He was instructed by Moses and told them that God wanted him to cross the Jordan and to take it over and divide it amongst the nation, divide it amongst the tribes. So if we read into, go back and read verses 7 and 8 of Deuteronomy 31, they state, "Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, 'Be strong and courageous, for you must go with his people to the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it amongst them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.'" You see, prior to this event in the Bible, Joshua and 11 others had already gone into the land to spy it out, and he and Caleb had come back with really positive reports, but the others were actively discouraged by any hopes of taking the land or even wanting to. So this generation needed to know that God was with them, just as he had promised Moses and their fathers previously when they left Egypt. Joshua and Israel were about to face the fight of their lives, and they needed that divine assurance that they could depend on a God as they faced the people who were occupying this land and retain that commitment to live their lives for God. Now, history tells us of the events, and they did put their trust in God, and they succeeded in taking the land. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations for those who love him and keep his commandments. We can put our trust in a faithful God. Amen. God was faithful now, then, as he made his covenant with his chosen people, and he is faithful to us now. If we turn to Hebrews 6, 17 and 18, and I'm reading from the NIV. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. So what does that mean for us now? God acknowledges that we need to be encouraged. Even though God does not lie and that he is still the same throughout time, Hebrews 13:8. Yet we sometimes find ourselves with lack of faith, and in certain situations like Joshua or Moses, it can result in discouragement in our faith, and that in those certain areas it can start to diminish. So why is that? And more importantly, what can we do about it? One of the main reasons why people lose their faith, and I looked on the internet, and it was a lack of understanding in Scripture. And if we look at that area, perhaps, of prayer, for example, we can lose our faith in God when we haven't seen our prayers fulfilled, giving the appearance that perhaps God hasn't answered them. Yet John states in 1 John 5, 4, 14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that we can ask anything according to his will, and he hears us. Or perhaps there's a natural disaster or something really bad happens and that we go through a particular challenging time. God gets the blame. But God is good all the time. All the time God is good. That's 2 Corinthians 9:8. It's sin that leads to death and destruction. Experience these types of things without having a full understanding of Scripture and God's promises would challenge any faith in Christ. That's why we need encouragement. We need reminding of the truth so that we can remain steadfast in our faith. Immerse yourself in the Word with regular teachings and Bible study. You see, once we grasp these promises to the full extent of what they mean, we can exercise our faith and put it into action. Amen? However, another reason why we lose our faith is because we have a difficulty in putting it into action. It's like a vicious circle, isn't it? It seems to be increasingly more difficult in today's society to exercise this faith. What do I mean? Well, we're not really suffering any hardships, persecution, and we don't lack any resources like benefits. We've got housing, we've got medication, we've got counselling, etc. And we don't have to put any trust into action because our world is full of these things for us. Therefore, our reliance on the world pushes out God, even though the world gives little respite until the next issue or difficulty arises. It's easy to put our trust into all these things because we're just so used to it. It's true. alongside worry and fear, there's no guarantees or certainties, and we just accept it because that's the way it is. But it doesn't have to be like that. I mean, it's certainly true for those who don't put their trust in Christ, but for they only have what they're used to, what they know, the world, and that's what they put their trust in. But for us as Christians, for those who know Christ, we can put our trust in him beyond any shadow of a doubt. See, Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful." That's the NIV version. You see, faith is a gift received and opened. See, those who have ever already accepted Christ into their lives have already got received the gift. We just need now to exercise it. Faith is implemented. As faith is implemented, we'll start to realise more and more about God's faithfulness. So what if we are not always faithful to God and trusting in his word? God, it will start to weaken our faith in him. And our faithfulness, fortunately, isn't dependent on God's faithfulness. We're reminded of this in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:10 to 13, and the NIV states, "Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." You see, God is faithful to his world, his word, irrelevant of whether we are faithful to his word, because he cannot be anything else. We need reminding of this as we seek to follow Jesus, being steadfast to his word, uncompromising, stepping out in faith as God leads us. Why is God faithful to his word? Well, he cannot be anything else. I've already said that. And he loves us unconditionally, even when we've messed up. Johnny spoke this morning about Joshua, and they messed up, yet God remains faithful. That's why it's important when we mess up, we put it right before him so that we can have that security. Psalm 37, verse 8 states, "For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones." You see, knowing this and exercising our faith and strengthens our walk as we seek to live out our lives, our purpose that God has for our lives. We can persevere. Through our life's battles, we can stand firm in our faith in Christ and then lead an uncompromising life. For Psalm 33, verse 4 from the NIV says, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does." 2 Thessalonians 3:3. "But the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." You see, this is a true freedom in the security of Christ's care and protection, knowing that he has a plan for your and a purpose for your life. We've been studying this in recent weeks. You see, God has preordained this for us to be in the safest place possible. I've got a story for you. A man was walking on a pitch black night when he fell over a cliff. And on the way down, he managed to grab hold of some branches on the way, sprouting out of the side of the cliff. Desperately, he began to call out for help, and a voice answered, "What do you want?" "I'm stuck down here holding onto a tree. I can't hold on much longer. Can you help me?" "Yes," a voice came in reply. "Who are you?" the man asked. "I'm God," the voice replied. "What do you want me to do?" asked the man. "Let go of the tree." There was a silence for a while, and then the man called out, "Is there anyone else up there?" You see, we often choose what we think is best for us. We like to seek an alternative, perhaps, an alternative solution, rather than what God wants us to do. You see, God is not a man. He does not lie. He is not human. He does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it out? That's from Numbers 23:19, NLT version. The Bible tells us not to rely on the world, people, possessions. All these things are just temporary. He says, trust him with all your heart, even when you don't understand. He says, lean not on your own understanding. He will cover you and he will protect you. Those who will remain steadfast. And just know his word. How did Daniel remain so uncompromising? You all know the story of Daniel. By knowing the word and putting it into action, into practice. He was building his trust in God's faithfulness that led him to the point of being able to go into the fire and fulfill God's purpose for his life. He did so much in standing up for God and believing in him that he could protect him, to save him and carry him through with what the purpose he had for him at that period of time. So who are you putting your trust in? And what and who is sustaining you? You see, a tremendous stability comes from applying God's principles in our lives instead of letting the world dictate its beliefs to us. In Christ, we know the outcome of our own behaviour, our decision-making, when we line it up with Scripture. Unlike those who make decisions on worldly values and past experiences, they're just taking a gamble on today, on the outcome of how they're going to live their lives. But for us, it brings us a hope and great peace and assurance that it'll be brought through because of the promises and blessings and the rewards of eternal life in heaven. Having a great faithful allegiance with an almighty God. Live apart from the world. Romans 12:12, verse 2 tells us, do not be conformed to the world, I've mentioned this previously, but be transformed and renewed and be renewal. Be the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern that is the will of God. What is good and acceptable and perfect? You see, Christ will sustain you. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 8 to 9. Who will sustain you till the end? Guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The believer is assured, not that God will save them, even if he stops believing, but God will keep him from believing. God will sustain your faith. He will make your hope stable to the very end. He will cause you to preserve through his faithfulness. That's the promise. So what can we do to build this trust up? I've mentioned before, we need to get into the word. We need to be regularly reading scripture, listening to it, so that we can all experience his broken promises. We can confirm with everyone, each and every one of us here, our experiences, so that we can they can show us how faithful a God we have. Prayer also demonstrates this. We can trust in him. We can put our knees before him. And as we put our knees before him, our faith will grow and we'll be encouraged as our prayers are answered. And as the Holy Spirit also works within us. Being in fellowship, for those who trust in God's faithfulness, we can help each other grow in the trust and faithfulness as we share experiences and support each other. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And let us consider now how we might spur each other on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but be encouraged by one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. The best way is to go for it, you know. Just trust in God and step out and see where God leads you. Understand your position in relationship to God. What happened when you became a Christian is the call of God. What will happen to keep you a Christian is the faithfulness of God. Know who you are in Christ, who you really are. God is faithful then, God is faithful now. God will always be faithful. So put your trust in a supernatural living God, better than the weaker flesh of man. Amen.